8. I'm going to look in verse 36. Now, my message this morning a little different than normal because I'm going to do a topical message today, which means I'm going to be in different places. Normally, I do expository, and I just kind of go down through the same text there in the first several verses. But this morning, I'm going to be in John chapter 8, going to preach on verse 36. But I got some other verses I'm going to throw out. You can turn to those if you would like. If not, you can jot those down, turn to them later, whichever is easiest for you. This morning, I'm going to talk about, of course, the great freedoms that we have, not just here in our land. Of course, I'm thankful for those, but the freedoms that we have in the Lord Jesus. You know, I can be under a dictator, but still have freedom in the Lord Jesus. Amen. And so I'm very thankful for that today. And so we're going to look at that here this morning, the freedoms that we have in Christ. And then tonight we're going to look at what happens when we lose some of those things. And so this morning we're going to rejoice in the freedoms that we do have and that we have in the Lord, and what the freedoms that we receive when we got saved and how good God is to us. And we're going to see some of that, just a brief portion of that in John chapter 8 and verse 36, which will be our springboard text to get us into the others. But as we look here, verse 36 of John chapter 8, the Bible says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." And of course, you'll notice there in verse 36, that is a capital S there in speaking of the Son, because we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if the Son, if the Lord Jesus has made us free, then the Bible says, I want you to understand that you are free indeed. If the Lord Jesus has set us free, then we are free. We are no longer in bondage. We are no longer under the power of sin, which we'll take a look at here in just a few moments. Now, if I'm a free person, I've been saved by the Lord, and I'm free, then what does that mean in my life? Okay, what now, you know, we understand, okay, I'm saved, I've accepted Christ as my Savior, all my sins are washed away, all my sins are forgiven. How many of you saved here this morning, you're glad that your sins are washed away? Man, praise God for that. We don't have to answer for those things no more. We don't have to look back on those things no more. Listen, we can be free from the guilt of all of that as well. The Lord Jesus has saved us from our sins, but in along with that, there's a number of other things, of freedoms that we can enjoy. So many to list. I can't preach on it all this morning, but we're very thankful for the freedoms that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible shows us here in verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." And of course, the Lord Jesus, He saved us, forgave us of our sin, washed us clean, and there's nobody that can do that. Only the Lord Jesus can do that. I can't do it for you. Mom and Dad can't do it for you. Your brother and sister can't. Grandma and Grandpa, as good as they are, and as much candy as they give you, they can't save you neither. Listen, we can do all kinds of good deeds and try to help people and give money and be members of a church and get Batman. We can do all these things, but if we don't put our faith and trust in Jesus, it's all of no avail. And so, what I want us to see and understand this morning is that it is Jesus plus nothing, minus nothing. It is the blood of Christ that gets a man to heaven. The Lord Jesus said, "No man comes to the Father but by me," and it was through Him, through the Lord Jesus, and that was it. And so, if we're saved, what are some freedoms that we can enjoy? Some things that we can rejoice in this morning? Well, I want one. Now you can jot this down, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. I'll give you two right here. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. The Bible says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. And what is the great freedom about that? Well, the great freedom about that is that now I no longer have to worry about the punishment of my sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So when I got saved and the Lord Jesus forgave me of my sin, that meant that I didn't have to go back, and that means I don't have to go to heaven and face all of those things that I did. Man, praise the Lord for that. I'm glad that I'm saved. I'm glad that I don't have to answer for my sin. Listen, if we got to heaven and we had to answer for our sin, then that meant the blood of Jesus didn't wash it all away, right? Yeah, you say, well, what about the sins I committed after I got saved? Well, understand, when we got saved, when we asked the Lord Jesus to forgive us of all of our sin, it wasn't just a forgiveness of our sin up to that point. It was a forgiveness of our sin of all time. Forgive our sins of all time. Not just, forgive me, Lord, of the sins I've committed up to this day that I'm asking you to forgive me. No, it was, Lord, forgive me of all my sin, which meant from all my sin, the sins I've already committed, sins I committed to past and doing right now, and the ones that are already in the future, the ones that I don't even know about, but the Lord Jesus forgave them anyway because He knows about them, right? He already knew the things that we were going to do. He knew the kind of life that we were going to live. He knew the sins that we were going to commit. And so he forgave us of all of our sin. So when I get to heaven, I don't have to answer for my sin, but I do have to answer for the motives that I lived in my Christian life. The Bible says the things done in our body, which is good and bad. But I'm rejoicing this morning in the fact that I no longer have to answer for my sin, the punishment of my sin. Because when I got saved, the Lord paved the way. He paved the way for me to escape the wrath of God, the wrath of God on sin. And so I no longer have to answer for the punishment of my sin. So Romans chapter 8, verse 1, the Bible says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." I don't have to just wait for that, but there is now no condemnation to me. Now that I'm saved. Listen, I'm not perfect by no means, and you ain't neither. And listen, I heard people talk about it this week in different scenarios and in times past. Man, I hear it all the time, but we guys got to understand. And I preach, and I've said it here many times. I've heard people say, if I had a penny, for every time I heard this, I'd be a millionaire right now. But I've heard people say, well, I don't go to church because there's hypocrites down there. I don't go to church because, the place is just filled with them. But it doesn't keep us from going to Walmart. It don't keep us from going to the ball field. Listen, if you come to church expecting everybody to be perfect, you expect too much. Because you're not perfect. And why would we expect everybody else to be what we're not? Amen. I'm just throwing that out there because, listen, the devil will give you any excuse not to be in the house of God. The devil will give you any excuse not to get your life right. The devil will give you any excuse, especially the ones that everybody else say that sound so good. The devil will give you any excuse he can to keep you away from what God desires for you to have in your life. But I'm thankful here this morning that I no longer have to answer for the punishment of my sin because the Lord Jesus took that for me. When I got saved, the Lord Jesus took that for me. There is now, therefore, now no condemnation in those that are in Christ Jesus. There is now, therefore, now no condemnation. There is nothing that can be said about Brian. There is nothing that can be said, well, Brian's guilty of this, and he's guilty of this, and he's guilty of that. Because the Bible says that all the handwriting of ordinances, all the things that was written against us, anything that could ever be said against us was nailed on the cross with the Lord Jesus. That handwriting of ordinances, what that had the idea was to see back then in the Roman times when people were guilty of things on the outside of their prison, on the prison bars was a sign that said what they were guilty of. So you would have a jail cell over here and it would say, well, this person's name and this is what they're guilty of. Same thing for this one, same thing for this one, same thing for this one, same thing for this one. So when I got saved, this is what happened. The Lord Jesus, he steps in because he knows I can't save myself. I mean, I'm in prison, I'm a sinner, I can't do nothing about myself. And so he says, the Lord Jesus, he comes in and he says, well, you know what? This is what I'll do. I'll just come along over here and I'll take him and I'll take this one and I'll take this one. I'll take this is what he's guilty of and I'll take this is what he's guilty of and this is what she's guilty of. And when the Lord Jesus went on the cross, all that was placed on him. And he says, I'll take it. And he opened the doors and let us go out. And so he took our sin upon himself so that we could be free. So that we could be free. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. I'm glad this morning that I don't have to answer for the punishment of my sin. I'm glad that I understand this morning that I am free from the punishment of that. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, the Bible says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to attain salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ." Listen, that's not God's desire to send people to hell. And there is a literal hell, even though people don't like to talk about it, and it's not popular to preach on it. And if you're one of those preachers that talks about hell and that a loving God's going to send people to hell, then man, you're just an awful person. Listen, God is a God of love, but he's also a God of judgment. Amen? And listen, we're going to look at one side. We got to look at both of it. We can't just take what we want. We got to look at the whole thing. Yes, God's a God of love. We say, well, why would a loving God send people to hell? God don't send people to hell. People send themselves there because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. A man hears the true words of the Lord and the gospel is preached unto him and he turns and he walks away from it. Why is that God's fault? Why is it God's fault that a man doesn't get saved? I mean, why are we going to put all the blame on God for the people that die and go to hell when the Lord is when God has given his only begotten son and laid it down for everybody to see? And the Lord Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. So people can see Jesus, they hear about Jesus, the gospel is preached, and they sit at a church service, even such as this, or they hear it on the radio, or whatever it is that they may hear it, and they hear it, they see it, and they turn and they walk away from it. And then, man, let us don't sit around and blame God because people die and go to hell. It's not God's fault. So listen, we understand that there is a loving God who loves us, but there is also a punishment for sin. And I'm thankful this morning that because I'm saved, I don't have to endure that. I'm thankful that because I'm saved this morning, that I don't have to take the wrath of God on sin. That's what's the next thing I can rejoice in this morning, not only for the fact that I'm free from the punishment of sin, but for the fact that I'm free from the fear of death. There's many verses we can quote. Psalm 23, a really good one. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Listen, I'm glad one of these days I'm going to fly on up out of here. One of these days I'm going to leave this place. I don't know when that's going to be, but one of these days I'm going to leave this old sin-cursed earth, and when I leave out of here, I'm going to enter into the land of glory, and I'm going to be so happy. I'm going to have a smile on my face. I'm not planning on coming back here. I'm not planning on coming back here and spooking people and opening up doors and slamming stuff. Because when I get to heaven, I'm not interested in coming back down here and trying to scare people. There's a whole lot more for me to do. Amen? Yeah. I don't want to get sidetracked on that. But it's amusing. But I'm free from the punishment of sin. I'm free from the fear of death. You say, preacher, you mean you're not afraid to die? Well, I'm not afraid of the aspect that when I die, I know where I'm going. I'm not afraid in the sense that I know that in the event of my death, when this soul leaves this body, that I know without a shadow of a doubt that this guy right here, that Brian Warren, is going to be in heaven for all eternity. And I don't have a fear of where I'm going to be. And the reason why I don't have that fear is because of the precious promises that I see in the Word of God. I'm free from the punishment of sin. Because of Christ, because he took it upon himself, I'm free from the fear of death. Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, and talking about the Lord, it says, but now is made manifest, talking about Christ, by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And so I have light, I have life, and I have immortality through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So I rejoice in the fact this morning that I have freedom from the fear of death. I have freedom from the fear of the idea of not knowing where I'm going to be at, because I know. And listen, I tell you what, there's a lot of people that are living out here in this world today. If they died right now, they're not sure where they would go. They're not sure. They're not sure. Some may not care because I just live how I want to live and do what I want to do. And they're just living a life of rebellion, not really fully understanding what hell is all about and how terrible sin is. But there are some folks that, I'm just too young, you know, and I got a long time. Listen, death is no respecter of persons. These old people die just like young people do. There's people that are infants that pass away, people in their 20s, they're teenagers, guys that are 23 like me, and older. Death is no respecter of persons. And I'm just trying to get us all to see and understand this morning that, listen, we can know without a shadow of a doubt where we're going, where we're going to spend eternity. We can know that without a shadow of a doubt. And there's nothing like having that know-how, that I know I'm saved, that I don't have to worry about those things when that time comes in my life. I am free from the fear of death. What else am I free from? I am free from the power of sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 14, the Bible says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Listen, I'm so thankful this morning that the Lord Jesus has allowed me to have power over sin. Not because I'm strong enough. Listen, I'm not strong enough to defeat sin. I'm not strong enough to overcome sin. I can't do these things, but I can do all things through Christ. which strengthens me. Listen, if I'm living for God and the Holy Spirit lives and dwells within me, then He has given me the power to overcome sin in my life. And so, you know, what does that mean? That means that, listen, the things that we battle with and the things that we struggle with, man, I'm talking about besetting sins, things that, man, they got a hold of us and we have a hard time shaking it. Listen, it could be alcohol, it could be drugs, it could be smoking and vaping, it could be all these different things. I mean, it could be a whole number, it could be gambling, pornography, it'd be all kinds of stuff. And in the midst of all of these things that the devil just sinks his claws into, and we begin to wonder, can I get victory over this? Can I achieve? Can I be the man that God wants me to be, or the woman that God wants? Yes, you can. And God can give you power and victory over sin. Listen, God didn't save us just to wallow in misery. God didn't save us just to wallow in misery. Listen, we don't have a God that saved us and said, well, you know, just handle it the best you can. But sometimes we'll live a life that's kind of like that. We'll just say, well, you know, I'm just not so sure. You know, I don't know if I can defeat this. I know we all kind of get down sometimes. But understand this, if the devil can keep you in that state, if he can make you think that you can't get victory over sin, that this is just the way it is, you got to accept it, and it's not going to be any better, then that's the way it's always going to stay. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you think you're not going to win, if you think it's not going to get any better, if you tell yourself that this is just how it is, and I just got to accept this is the way life is, and I can't change it, then listen, more than likely, it's probably not. Man, you got to believe, and you got to see how strong Jesus is and how powerful God is. Because what happens is when we do that, we start saying those things and think of those things, we start minimizing the power of God. We start minimizing the power of God. And the devil would have you say, listen, no matter what it is, the devil would have you think that you can't do it. Man, you're just a loser. You're a failure. This is never going to get any better. This is just the way it is. And when we start believing that and taking it into our heart, we start minimizing the power of God. And we start saying, well, Lord, just how strong are you? Just how powerful are you? I mean, here I am. I'm struggling. I'm battling. What are you? And we start minimizing the power of God. Forgetting the fact that God Himself formed everything that you see, made it all, the dust of the earth. And God took it and formed a man out of it. I ain't never seen nobody else do that. You ever seen anybody make somebody out of dirt? I ain't seen it. He lifted up the mountains out of the sea. He brought together the land masses, and he formed all the fish, and he made the fowls of the air, and he made the beasts of the field, and he made man on the sixth day and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And so God tells his people, if you had the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say to that mountain, be plucked up from hence and cast into the sea. And if you believe that, man, God will help you with that. But when we start feeling like, and we start repeating and reciting in our hearts and minds that I can't have freedom from this, and that I can't be any better, and that I can't have victory, and that's what the devil wants you to think. And more than likely, if that's how you're feeling, if that's the path you're going, you may not see that. You may not see the victory that you're so longing for. When I'm standing here this morning, I'm trying to tell you, because I see it in my own self, I'm thankful that we can be free from the power of sin. That we have a God in heaven that says, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you've done, no matter how far down in that black sinkhole that you've gotten, that His hand is not shortened, that He cannot save. It don't matter what sin you've committed. It don't matter how many times you've done it. But we have a God in heaven that can reach down wherever you are, down in the blackness of that pit of sin, and pull you up out, set your feet on a rock and establish your steps, and put a song in your mouth. And God can do it if you let Him, if you believe it. The Bible says, shows us so we can be free from the punishment of sin. I don't have to die and go to a devil's hell. I can accept what the Lord Jesus has done for me, because He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And it doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter where you're from, doesn't matter what nationality you are, doesn't matter what culture you came from, it don't matter who mom and dad is, how much money you got, your position in society, it makes no difference whatsoever. We have a God that died for everybody. Every single person. And if we're willing to accept what the Lord Jesus has done, then we can be free from the punishment of sin. We can be free from the fear of death. We can be free from the power of sin. Also free from the power of darkness. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, the Bible says, "Who hath delivered us," talking about the Lord Jesus, "who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Man, free from the power of darkness. You know, one of these days, when the time of my departure is at hand, as the Apostle Paul said, he said, the time of my departure is at hand. And that word departure has the idea of a ship that's at the dock. And it's tied to the dock. But now we're going to throw the ropes off. And he's going to sail away. And when that day comes, and it will, for every single one of us, young or old, and if the rapture don't take place first, and when that day comes, I'm going to be able to celebrate in the joy of knowing that I know where my destination is, that he is the captain of this ship. And Colossians 1:13 shows us that we can be free from the power of darkness. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So when I got saved, you know what happened? So you see, when I was born, that was what we call a birth certificate. How many of you got a birth certificate? Now, don't tell me if you don't. Just joking. You know what a birth certificate is? And what does that birth certificate say on there? It tells you who you are, where you were born, how much you weighed, who your mother and father are, and a whole host of other different information. When I got saved, you know what happened? That word right there, to be transferred or translated, has the idea to be transferred. In other words, my citizenship, I had a birth certificate here, but when I got saved, my name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, which then gave me a new birth certificate. I'm no longer a citizen here. I'm just a pilgrim passing through. I'm just a pilgrim passing through. Listen, I'm just here on the mission field doing what I can to do what God called me to do, to tell people about Jesus. Because now my citizenship is in heaven. My name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life that day that I called out to Christ for salvation. All my sins were forgiven, and now my citizenship has been translated. I have been transferred into the kingdom of God, and I no longer have to worry about dealing with this old sin-cursed, sin-filled world. And the Bible says there in Colossians 1:13, that he has delivered us from the power of darkness. So, when you get saved, not only are you delivered from the power of darkness, but you transfer your citizenship from here to heaven. You know, in our life, we can be oppressed by satanic things, by things that we get involved in and things that we do and things that we entertain in our life. Listen, you got to be careful what you bring in your home, because you don't know what you're bringing in. And oftentimes it's a whole lot stronger than what you think it is. And we kind of wink at it sometimes and act like it ain't nothing. And then you start seeing the effects of how it's really moving in your house or moving in your life. And it's then you're like, wow. I want you to understand this one. The Bible says that he has delivered us from the power of darkness. And we're living in this world, and there's a lot of evil and a lot of wicked things that's going on all around us. We are sitting here this morning. I know we're sitting here at church, Gospel Light Baptist Church. Here we are sitting, but understand that where we are sitting is in a battle zone. We're sitting in the midst of a battlefield. And there's a battle going on all around us. When you wake up in the morning, it's a battle. If you don't pray and ask God to help you get through that day, you don't pray and ask God to fill you with his spirit and to give you strength and ask, you know, whatever it is that you need to do in the morning to get right with God, you don't do that, I tell you what, it's going to be tough. Listen, you can wake up in the morning, do all those things, and it's still tough. Less on if you wake up in the morning and don't. Listen, I'm just trying to tell you this morning, God has said he's delivered us from the power of darkness. And so even though we walk through a battlefield in a sin-cursed world and earth, God is saying, showing us from heaven in his word, that listen, this may be where you're at, but no, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm the present help in time of trouble. I'm your shield. I'm your buckler. I'm your high tower. I will be there for you. I will help you. You can do all things through me. Without me, John 15, you can do nothing. And we think we can just get up and face this day and fight the devil and fight the world and fight everything else and we can just do it all on our own. How's that working? It don't. It don't work. And we think we can just get up and I'll just fight the devil by myself. I'll fight this. I'll just handle it all on my own. And people say, you've heard, I mean, I've said it a million times. People say, well, that old Christianity, that old Jesus that you serve, that's just a crutch for you to get through life. Oh, no, my friend. You are sadly mistaken. My Savior is not a crutch for me. I'm on total life support. I need him every hour. I need him every second. I'm just trying to get you to see and understand this morning how valuable and how important Jesus is in your life. And if we think that we can fight the devil and fight the world and fight all these different things in our life, fight sin and all this different kind of stuff and do it without Jesus, you're sadly mistaken. We all are. And the Bible says we can be free from the power of darkness. The next thing is we are free to approach God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. The Bible says, let us come boldly before the throne of God. You see, back a long time ago, they had the priests that done that for them. They went back in the Old Testament and they brought the sacrifice to the priest. The priest would go in on the Day of Atonement. He would make an atonement for the people's sins and all these different things. But when the Lord Jesus died, you know what happened? The Bible says that there in the temple, the curtain there, it ripped from the top to the bottom. You know what that means? It separated the holy from the holy place. Back then, God's people couldn't go in there. Only the priests could. But when Jesus died, you know what happened? That curtain right there ripped, tore all the way down from the top to the bottom, showing that this was something that God did, not something man did. This is something that God did. God's making a way for everybody to get to him. God's making it possible. God's making it a way so that we can boldly come before the throne of God. Every single one of us. And so I don't have to go to the preacher. I don't have to go to a deacon. I don't have to go to a Sunday school teacher. I don't have to go through anybody to get to Jesus. I can get to him on my own. I can get to him by myself. Now that right there does not mean that I don't need church just because I can talk to Jesus anytime I want. Even though we have a people that says, well, you know, I can worship God anywhere. That is true. You can worship God anywhere. And you can talk to God anywhere. Praise the Lord for that freedom. Praise the Lord for that. But just understand, whenever the Bible says in Hebrews, the very same chapter, to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, that was a command, not a suggestion. So the argument that I don't need church, the argument that I don't need to be there, don't hold water because God wouldn't call preachers and evangelists and all the Sunday school. God wouldn't call everybody to do everything they've done here. Didn't need to be here. If it wasn't important. If it wasn't a command from God. I'm just trying to get us all to see the freedoms that we enjoy. Listen, I'll tell you what. There's a lot of people across America today that are not enjoying the freedoms that they have. There's people in other countries that would love to sit on this pew right here. They would love to sit on this pew. They would love it. They would love to sit on this pew. They would love to enjoy a little bit of the air conditioning we have this morning. I don't know what the rest of it is. But they would love to enjoy it. They would love to sit on that padded pew. They would love to drive in on that car that you came in this morning. They would love to fill their belly up with the breakfast that you ate. They would love to have that shirt that you got on your back and those shoes that you got on your feet. They would love to have all those things. They would love to not have to meet together in a private place where they can't worship God freely because they're afraid they're going to die. But yet this great nation, of course, with the blessings of our God, has provided a place where we can have all of those things. All of those things. Let us not neglect the freedoms that we have. We are so blessed. Blessed beyond measure. The Bible says He loads us daily with benefits. Every single one of us. He loads us daily. Now, if you load something up, what does that mean? Does that mean you just kind of drop something in? Or does that mean you're coming like this and you're loading it? Yeah. Loads us daily with benefits. Every single day we are blessed by God. We are free to approach God. We can come boldly before the throne of God. Let us not negate that freedom. The next thing is we are free to speak with God. And that kind of relates with approaching God. But we're free to speak to God. The Bible says in Philippians, tells us that that we are to, as we when we approach the throne of God, the Bible says we let our requests be made known unto God. Speak to Him. You say, well, preacher, I've done a lot of speaking to God. I've prayed about this and I've prayed about this. I've prayed about all these things. And you know, I'm doing a lot of speaking. In a conversation, it takes two people. How many would agree with that? You agree it takes two people to have a conversation? That's not blasphemy, right? No. It takes two people to have a conversation. Now, if you're doing all the talking and you're not doing any listening, it's kind of hard to hear what God's trying to get you to see. Kind of hard to get the idea where God's trying to lead you. If we're the one that's doing all the talking and we're not opening God's Word and letting Him speak to our hearts, because the Bible says in Hebrews that He has in these last days spoke to us through His Word. I think Hebrews 1, verse 1. In these last days, He has spoken to us through His Word. And if we're doing all the talking and we're not doing any listening, then how are we going to know what we need to do, the direction that we want to go? We have freedom this morning to approach Christ, to approach in the throne room of God, to ask Him whatever we want to ask Him, just to spend time with Him, just to talk to Him. Every single one of us have 24-hour a day, 365-day-a-year access to God. Every single one of us. So don't look at nobody else, but you ask yourself, how much of God do I want? How much of God do I want? Because we can have as much of Him as we desire. But we have the freedom this morning to approach the throne of God. Lastly is this. The Bible tells me, and since I'm in John, I'll just go ahead and flip over with me. John chapter 14. And let's look at verses 1 to 3. In John chapter 14 verses, well, let's go 1 to 6. John chapter 14, we'll stop with this. Because I'm saved, I'm free to live with Him. John chapter 14, verse 1, the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm free to live with Him this morning. The Bible tells me in the book of 1 Peter, I believe the Bible says that there is a place in heaven up there that is reserved for me. And if you're saved, there's a place in heaven that's reserved for you. You know what a reservation is? How many ever called and made a reservation? Yeah? You know what that's all about? What do you expect out of that? You expect that whenever you get there, that that table will be there for you. Or that that room will be available when you get there. The Bible says for God's people that there is an inheritance in heaven. There is a place up there that is reserved in heaven for us. Reserved, a place specifically and specially marked off for you. When you got saved, God said, that's where they stay. That's where they live. A place marked off for you. I'm free this morning to know that there is a place in heaven for me. When my name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, God reserved a place for me. I'm glad about that. I'm happy about that. One of these days, I'm going to be there. And I pray that you will be too. But that is a freedom that I'm able to enjoy in the Lord Jesus. My citizenship was transferred. My name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And God gave a place for me to stay. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're battling with things, man, you're having a hard time, things is difficult, whatever it could be, struggling with sin, maybe you're not saved, you need to get saved. Whatever it could be, listen to the voice of God this morning. The still small voice that'll speak to your heart. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, you have been so good to us, far better to us than we deserve. And God, we ask this morning that you help us, Lord, to hear your voice. Help us, God, be mindful of your presence. Lord, help us to hear that which you need to speak to our hearts about today. As the piano plays, and as you move through the congregation and speak to hearts, God, I pray that we would be open and attentive to your voice, whatever it could be. It could be about salvation. And it could be that maybe there's someone here today that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. That you can honestly admit within yourself and say, you know what, if I died today, I'm not sure if I'd go to heaven. Or I've never in my life ever asked Lord Jesus to save me. I've never asked the Lord to forgive me. And if that's the case, nobody's looking but me and God. Would you just slip your hand up so I can see? I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. Nothing like that. Is anybody like that here this morning? If I died today, I'm not sure if I'd go to heaven. Or I've never asked Christ to be my Savior. Anybody like that here this morning? Could be that you're here today and you're just like all the rest of us. You have battles and struggles. And you're praying and just asking God to help you. We all have them. You say, preacher, would you remember me in your prayers when you pray? Would you just remember me? Anybody like that here this morning? Yes, I see you. 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 Yes, young lady, I see you. Yes, sir, back there in the back. As we stand to our feet and we open up the altar this morning, whatever it could be, whatever it could be, do business with God. Don't be afraid to approach the throne of God. Don't be afraid to speak to the Lord. Whatever it is, just bring your voice to God. Just talk to the Lord about it. It could be some struggles. It could be some battles. It could be about salvation. Listen, it could be a whole host of different things. You're just saying, you know what? I just want to come and talk to God about it. People sitting all over the altar this morning. Listen, we all need help. It could be that you just want to intercede for somebody. I have a friend or a family member, they're lost. I'm praying for their salvation. Could be that you're just saying, you know what, Lord, I want to go up and I'm just going to pray for some folks that, man, they're having a hard time and difficult situations. Listen, it could be a whole host of things. It could be family issues, besetting sins. Man, we all have some stuff. And this church is a hospital. This is a place where we come. We hear the true words of the Lord. We encourage each other. We try to help each other. And we listen to the voice of God. Whatever it could be. Enjoy that freedom that you have in that this morning. The idea that we can approach God with anything that's in our hearts. You say, preacher, I can talk to God about anything? Yeah. The Bible says He knows what you have need of before you ever even ask. He already knows. If it's a matter of salvation, you let me know. We'll have someone take a Bible and show you from the Word of God how you can be saved. You trust in the Lord Jesus. Believe with all thine heart. And the Bible says, thou shalt be saved.
All right. Thank you so much for being here this morning. I pray the message was a blessing to you. You was able to get some things from it. Please be here tonight if you can. Of course, we'll be